The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
And welcome to the William Hill Racing Podcast. Alex Dunn here, joined by Gareth Topham to look ahead to the third day of the Cheltenham Festival. Some great action so far, some great action coming up, and hopefully we can point you in the direction of a winner or two. Hello there, Mr. Topham, how are you?
Yeah, good, thanks, Alex. Been a good week so far, plenty of exciting finishes, and looking forward to getting stuck into the third day.
Yeah, we're recording this before the second day, so we'll have a look back at the first day. Not a bad start to a Cheltenham Festival. Plenty of excitement, plenty of high quality winners. And I'd suggest no more so than Votor in the opener.
Yeah, he looked electric, didn't he? I'd say by far and away he was the most impressive winner of yesterday. It was a day that had it all, really, didn't it? High emotion, plenty of drama, tremendous finishes. And yeah, some real horses to take out of the meeting, particularly Votor, who made pretty much every yard of the running to win, the supreme novices hurdle horse, who was gifted a bit of an easy lead the last time he won. And I think for a few people that might have been the doubt whether he'd get such an easy lead here, but nothing could live with this horse.
No.
And he absolutely powered away, and whether he stays hurdling or goes over fences, he could make a hell of a chaser, couldn't he?
Well,
didn't half jump those hurdles well yesterday.
They queued up to take him on, and one by one they just slowly started falling away, and they turned for home, and you just thought, well, it's how far, isn't
yeah,
it? Just made that one mistake coming down the hill, but dived at one a little bit, but I wouldn't think that's anything to worry about. And just looks a good horse, doesn't he?
He does. Very exciting, and I'm sure the connections will be absolutely thrilled with what he did yesterday. And one horse that I took out of the race was Wild Blue Yonder, who finally got his jumping together, and he finished a really good fifth. I thought only beaten, well, he's been beaten less than 10 lengths in the end by this Votor. I'm hoping now that this horse goes to Aintree, because I think he's going to appreciate the better ground. Should have won that race at Ascot last time, where he fell at the last and was clear. And I think a flat track going left-handed, I think he, if the Alan King yard now can keep firing, I've said right from the start of this week that I think the Alan King yard are going to be the stable to follow from a value perspective throughout the course of the week. They had a couple of runners, I think, run well at big prices yesterday.
Midnight,
and of course,
Prayer
they won. Had a winner as well in Midnight Prayer. I can see this Wild Blue Yonder going very well at Aintree if that's where he ends up. But Votor was seriously impressive in the first.
He was indeed, and well fancied to do so. The second race, there was a slightly less fancied winner. Western Warhorse, 33-1, claimed the 2014 Arkle from Champagne Fever and Trifolium. Well, there's a lot of things that you can say about this, but the fact of the matter is he won, and he won pretty well. I mean,
I tell you,
Champagne Fever is one hell of a good yardstick, and the fact that he just got up on the line, I don't think there's any fluke about it.
It was a shock result, but I think this is a good Arkle winner. For all of the reasons that you've just said, when this horse as well, when he won at Doncaster last time, I thought it was one of the most breathtaking displays of jumping you'll see from a horse all season. And 33-1, hindsight's a great thing. I did say, I was working yesterday on a different radio service, I did say before the race, I thought the price was a bit insulting. I didn't for any second suggest he'd win, but I did think 33-1, I thought that is a bit big, but when you considered that some of his rivals hadn't put in a jumping display like that throughout their chasing careers so far, Rock and Ruby, for example. And the prices, I just thought the prices were a little bit false, you know, in representing the horse's true chances. But I mean, he was going absolutely nowhere up at the top of the hill, and he stayed on again. And people who follow the theory of Hood for the first time at the Cheltenham Festival get on were filling their boots, because he really did battle hard up the hill. Tom Scudamore threw everything at him. It was a tremendous ride. And as you said, Alex, to get the better of Champagne Fever, who knows how to battle up this hill.
Yeah.
I thought that was one hell of a performance. I think, although it was a shock result, this is a good Arkle. Well, good Arkle winner. Mm. And take nothing away from him. He's very exciting, and hopefully he'll end up maybe at Aintree next in a few weeks' time in the Magull, something like that. I'd actually back Dodging Bullets and Valdez both for a place. I was amazed that neither of them snuck into the frame, because with three to jump, they both looked as though they were going to be bang there. But I think that just sort of enhances the credit we can give to the likes of Champagne Fever, and in particular the winner Western Warhorse, because coming down the hill with three to jump, I wasn't really considering Western Warhorse. I thought he'd run his race, but boy, did he stay on well up the home straight. Great effort.
Mm. And of course, then we moved on to the Champion Hurdle. Jeske getting his day in the sun, if you like, beating My Tent or Yours for the same owner, JP McManus. A 1-2 for him, maybe not the 1-2 that he was hoping for or expecting, but nevertheless, Jeske, a little bit of a forgotten horse this year. I, for one, was reasonably keen on his chances for the Champion Hurdle at the start of the year, but by no means was really considering him yesterday. There was sort of the big four, if you like. But Jeske, again, clearly gets on well with Barry Geraghty, and a deserved winner.
He just fell off the radar a little bit, didn't he, Jeske? He was really impressive at the start of the season when he won over a Down Royal. Then two defeats by Hurricane Fly over in Ireland. And of course, he was last of the four in the Irish Champion last time out. And I think he just had a little bit to prove perhaps after that. But my God, he's proved it here. And I mean, the race did fall apart a little bit. Absolutely tragic fall for our Connor. Mm. He wiped out the new one, who flew home up at the Cheltenham Hill. In the end, he's only been beaten less than three lengths. So one would consider if our Connor hadn't had fallen. Mind you, though, if our Connor hadn't have fallen, where would he have finished?
That's very true, yep.
Because they were, you know, they were going a good old lick, and our Connor was setting it, and we knew that was what was going to suit Desi Hughes's runner. But Jeske kept on going. The race did fall apart a little bit after that incident. Hurricane Fly, it was just time for a new order. He's been there, done it, but I think now it's time to start respecting the younger, less exposed rivals, such as Jeske, My Tent or Yours. It was the second time that My Tent or Yours had gone down fighting at the Cheltenham Hill.
Just pulls too hard early, doesn't he?
He's a keen goer.
I'd love to
see him on the flat.
Yeah, I just think
he'd be a monster on the flat.
But on a flat track, he can just get away with it. Mm. Cheltenham, he just can't. Mm. And that was showed yesterday. He wasn't stopping so much at the finish. Mm. He just couldn't find the extra gear that he had for most of the race, if you like, ready. And in that sense, Jeske, who settled better, had a lovely little run round under Barry Geraghty, quiet ride, and as such was able to outbattle him. But I think the new one is the one to take out of the race, if you like. Hardly an eye catcher from under the radar, but, you know, as you said, did fly home, and had he not been hampered, result may have been different. But of course, condolences to Connections of our Connor. Never nice to see that happen to any horse, but especially one of that quality. So disappointing in that sense, but Jeske, a deserved winner. We'll move on to the final race that we'll just look back at, which was, of course, the Mayor's Hurdle. Quivega, six in a row. I'd like to say it never looked in doubt, but it did look in doubt.
Well,
it depends what.
Not as bad as last year.
No, that is true.
But that's what I thought after the race.
She's not the kind of horse that will cruise upon the bridle.
No, she likes a scrap.
She really does, and I think Ruby Walsh said yesterday that he was a little concerned turning for home. But she battled, she got the better of stablemate Glenn's Melody, who ran a fine race, as did Lunique back in third. Mm. But she is just too good, isn't she?
Oh, she is. It was a brilliant ride from Paul Townend, actually, on the runner-up, because he clearly took the race by the scruff of the neck off the home turn, because he committed Glenn's Melody. After Siran Dene fell at two from home, he just went for it on this Glenn's Melody, took a few lengths out of the field. And that was what gave you the split second of doubt for Quivega's record, because you just thought, Christ, can she make up this ground? But I didn't think overall it wasn't such a painful watch as what 12 months ago. That last year I thought was really last gasp. But that might have been because there were more horses in contention jumping the last.
Yeah.
Yesterday, there were only two.
Yeah.
Glenn's Melody and Quivega. Quivega doesn't half stick her head down. She's a remarkable horse. And I think maybe after the Champion Hurdle, which I think it's fair to say possibly was, for the race, for the hype that the race received, it possibly was slightly anticlimax.
Underwhelming, yeah. Perhaps.
Perhaps.
Yeah.
Taking nothing away from the winner.
But for a number of reasons, you could say that. Yeah.
I think we needed a little bit of a lift after the news broke about our Connor in particular. And that was the lift. That was what it needed. And it was really one of those I was there moments.
Yeah.
I wasn't there. But for those who was, it was one of those
you
moments.
Remember
where
you
say,
watched it, put it that way.
Most definitely. Mm. And it's a fantastic record. And Willie Mullins was interviewed afterwards and questioned the inevitable, will she be back to make it seven? And he said, perhaps that'll be a little greedy, but we'll have to see.
Mm.
And at the age of 11, well, if she's anywhere near as good as she is currently at the age of 10, she'll still take the beating. She is a formidable racehorse.
It's like nothing that we've seen. The only horse I could equate it to in my time with that sort of dominance is Big Bucks, if you like.
Yeah.
You know, but they don't come along very often.
They don't.
So, yes, Quivega, a good winner of the Mayor's Hurdle.
I think that was the overall highlight, wasn't it, of day one?
That's what you want to see, isn't it? So. We will move on to looking at the best of Thursday's action now then. The 240 is the first race that we'll look at. It's the Ryanair Chase, a Grade 1 contest over 2 miles and 5 furlongs. We've got 12 runners down to go to post in this one. Interesting contest, as always. We currently price up Beneficent and Dinas 10-3 joint favourites, Alpha off at 7-2, and then a jump to 9-1 for Boston Bob and Hidden Cyclone, 10s Menorah, 20s or bigger the rest. The fact that we've got 10-3, 10-3, 7-2 for Beneficent, Dinas and Alpha off suggests that this is going to be pretty tight.
Yeah, possibly. I was actually going to start my sort of description of the race as saying I was going to be a bit unoriginal and going for Alpha Off. I thought Alpha Off would be favourite. I just simply think that this horse hasn't got home the last twice over 3 miles. Ran in bottomless ground at Newbury last time, hated it. Still ran a good second. And the time before ran third at Kempton. I just don't think he's got home either time. I think back around here at Cheltenham, a course and distance, he's a former Paddy Power Gold Cup winner. I don't think the ground of late has been to suit him. It'll be much more to his liking here. I think back around here, 2 miles, 5 furlongs, the step back down in trip is absolutely 100% what this horse needs.
Mm.
And I'm quite surprised that he's not favourite. It's a good renewal. As always, the Ryanair Chase is never a soft heat. But really, I am strong on Alpha Off. I think he's going to take all the beating back in what seemingly are going to be his optimum conditions.
Mm.
Beneficent won at the meeting 12 months ago, but he doesn't really strike me as a superstar racehorse just yet.
He's not. He's a battler.
Mm.
But I think there may just be one or two with a little bit too much class here, the likes of Alpha Off, Dinast. I mean, even down at the bottom, Medami, Menorah, horses that have got things to prove, certainly.
Well, Med and Me wasn't beaten far in this a couple of years ago by Riverside Theatre.
And ran a pleasing enough race on return from a break last time.
And again, that represents trainer Alan King, who I know he's had a winner so far, but I just think you won't do too badly wrong by a wallet if you keep on just following him
of the week. He's no longer regarded as being up there with the likes of Nichols and Henderson.
No, perhaps
he's
not.
He's seen as a bit of a second string, if you like. And as a result of that, horses that maybe in the past would have been going off 5-1 are going off double that price. And I'd agree. I think he's coming into form at the right time. Obviously had his issues earlier in the season. But as a result of that, he's probably got some well-handicapped horses for the handicaps. And for races like this, I mean, Medami's a grand horse. Has done very little wrong.
Mm.
And he's
got that past Cheltenham form, which is what you need here.
As does Menorah.
As does Menorah. I mean, most of them do, in all truth.
Yeah.
The likes of Hunt Ball. I'd be pretty doubtful over Hunt Ball. It'd be some training performance by Nicky Henderson to get him back to winning at the Cheltenham Festival.
25-1.
Yeah, I mean, it's a big prize, but I'd have my doubts over Hunt Ball, I must be honest. Boston Bob back to 2 mile five, not sure about that. Dinast is an interesting runner. We've already seen David Pipe and Tom Scudamore to brilliant effect this week, but I just think this race is tailor-made for Alpha Off.
Okay.
So that would be my view. I thought I was being unoriginal. I'm amazed that he's not favourite.
Okay, Alpha Off might actually be a bit of value there. 7-2 for the Ryanair. The next race that we'll look at is the World Hurdle. Grade 1 contest, 3 miles the trip, 12 runners down to go to post, although Quivega is one of those, and she's good, but I don't think she'll be running in this one.
No.
Well, we've got an interesting market for this one, I think it's fair to say. I think many people would have expected Big Bucks to be a short price, but obviously with Annie Power in there, she is another mare for Willie Mullins that seems to be doing, can't do much wrong, seemingly. 13-8 Annie Power, 3-1 Big Bucks, 8-1 for At Fisher's Cross, Rule the World and Quavega, but Quavega will not be running. More of that 9s, Zarkandar 10s, 14s or bigger the rest. Annie Power 13-8 from 15-8, already being well backed, and I'd imagine she'll continue to be well backed.
Yeah, if Willie Mullins has a good day too, in particular, I think this price, I mean, it's collapsing already, but my word, it's a short price considering what she's up against and considering what she's beaten so far, I think. I don't think there's any value in her price. Mind you, every Cheltenham panel that I've been on, everybody I've spoken to about Annie Power, I think they're the best mare she's seen since Dawn Run. Mm. They've seen since Dawn Run. So if she's to live up to that sort of hype, she's unbeaten at the moment. It's the first time as well that she's racing over 3 miles.
It's quite a step up.
It is a step up.
She's only ran twice over 2.5.
I thought she'd get the trip after what I saw at Cheltenham on New Year's Day, because the ground that day was atrocious. And if you can get through that over 2.5, I think. But this is going to be, again, a slightly different kettle of fish. And I just don't think there's any real great value in her price. My goodness, she's up against Big Bucks. Now,
3-1 for Big Bucks.
3-1 for Big Bucks. He came back and got beaten in the Cleve. I still thought that was a hell of a good run. My God, the horse had 2 years off.
Beaten a length after 2 years off. I'd settle for that.
And, you know, you'd say, all right, yeah, it was Nakara Bow who beat him. But if Nakara Bow runs in the Gold Cup on Friday, I think he'll quit himself a credit. He won't come last, put it that way. He's a horse who's a very, very strong stayer, who's acquitted himself well in the Gold Cup in the past. You know, and just because he's a northern raider, I just think it gets looked down upon sometimes, and perhaps wrongly so. And let's not forget, At Fisher's Cross was bang there as well. And Big Bucks, like you say, Alex, was only a length off them in third. He was entitled to blow up, and he was given a pretty aggressive ride. You know, after that long off the track, he was entitled to get tired up the final climb to the line in what was very testing ground again. So I think Big Bucks, provided he doesn't bounce and he comes on for that first run, this is a superstar racehorse of years gone by. At the age of 11, he still has a bit of fire in his belly, and I think 3-1 could be the value against Annie Power. Annie Power is, you know, the sexy of the two these days, I think, if you like. But it's a fascinating race. I'm not sure I'll be playing it myself. I just think it's a real watching race, a race to enjoy. If I were to have a little bet, the horse that has impressed me so far this season is More of That. Now, I know there are a couple of doubts about him actually turning up for some reason or another earlier on in the week. But when At Fisher's Cross kept on disappointing, this More of That seemed to be all the rage of the JP McManus runners. Let's face it, he's had a great start in the championship races at the beginning of the week. And then all of a sudden, At Fisher's Cross came back to form in the Cleve Hurdle. And there hasn't been anything said about More of That ever since. So is More of That the forgotten contender? I think very possibly. I can see JP McManus's runners both running very, very well in this. And More of That each way would perhaps be a small play. I think he'll stay absolutely fine. He's another who's unbeaten. He's beaten some good horses so far. And he's an exciting prospect, perhaps not just over hurdles, but fences in the future.
Okay, then.
Great race.
More of That, 9-1. Of course, AP has chosen to ride At Fisher's Cross, but as we saw yesterday, doesn't always get those decisions 100% right. And Geraghty, a more than able deputy on More of That. So certainly a fascinating world hurdle ahead. The final race that we'll look at is the 440. It is the Kim Muir. 3 miles, 1.5 furlongs the trip. 24 runners going to post. I was going to call it a pin stickers job. I won't go that far.
I don't think it is.
Well, we've got amateur jockeys in there, and often in these races, it can pay to almost follow a jockey. You know, start with the jockeys and see if the horse matches up, if you like. Where should we start with this one?
Well, there's a horse in this who races in the same colours as last year's runner-up, Super Duty. Uh-huh. He's trained by the same trainer, Donald McCain. He's partnered by Derek O'Connor, who's one of the best jockeys in this race. He's called Indian Castle. Indian Castle beat Anna Cotty here over C&D last time. And good ground will be absolutely no problem for Indian Castle. It was pretty testing last time out. Anna Cotty runs in the RSA on Wednesday. So those of you who like me and do fancy this Indian Castle, we'll be quite interested to see how this Anna Cotty gets on. Anna Cotty's obviously gone for the Group 1. He didn't go for a handicap. Indian Castle come here. And I think this is the perfect sort of race for him. He clearly acts around Cheltenham. He's very, very consistent and progressive. His form figures are 1-1-2-1. As I said, he's got one of the best pilots on in the race. The team were just touched off in this race 12 months ago. They'll be hungry to put that right this year. I think he's a great price, and he's likely to be an each-way price, perhaps, with the nature of this race.
Mm. And second at Wetherby over Christmas, only a three-horse race. Many Clouds the winner, Pinarolo third. Both have gone on to win since.
Absolutely,
Many Clouds, of course, competing at Cheltenham this week.
It's good form.
Yeah, solid, solid horse. And is the kind of type you'd imagine that you can actually see winning this race. You know how some horses fit a profile.
Yeah.
We've got 5-1 Indian Castle.
He just reminds me of Super Duty.
Yeah.
Last year, and Super Duty just went down, on his shield.
Yeah.
To same difference. There was no disgrace in that, and he just reminds me of him. So if you just want a good, solid each way bet that at the very least should get you your money back.
Yeah.
I think this is it.
Okay, 5-1 Indian Castle, 7-1 Cause of Causes, 8-1 for Balnaslow, 12s There's No Panic, 14s or bigger the rest, including last year's winner, same difference. So, fascinating contest in prospect there. As you said, Derek O'Connor on board, one of the leading amateur riders, gave a good ride yesterday to Shotgun Paddy, who didn't really jump a fence, did he? He just walked through a lot. But
In these sorts of races, you need a jockey who's got a bit of know-how around Cheltenham as well.
Yeah.
Derek O'Connor does not fall short in that category.
Okay, then could you just sum up your three picks at the three races that we've looked at on Thursday in the Cheltenham Festival, please, Gareth?
Sure. Strong selections for the first race and the third race we've previewed. Alpha off in the Ryanair, really strong on that. The World Hurdle, it's a race that I think I'm just going to watch. I doubt I'll be punting it in. I haven't so far. I might have a couple of quid each way on more of that. Out of Annie Power and Big Bucks, if you put me to it, I'd say Annie Power, but tentatively so. In the Folklore and Kim Muir, I'm all over Indian Castle each way like a cheap suit.
What a lovely turn of phrase. Best of luck, Gareth.
Thank you very much.
Enjoy the action on Thursday.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.